الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم My dear brothers and sisters For a few weeks we are alhamdulillah discussing beliefs a Muslim must have in his belief or the basis of all the things. Therefore, if a person have wrong beliefs, so his amals may be reaching a very high rank is of no use. So one should have too much carefulness for his beliefs. So today, inshallah, we shall be talking about general beliefs. One's iman, means faith, is only complete when one regards Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam as true in everything. Sadiq. And accepts everything from them. To have a doubt regarding any aspect of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or to reject it, or to find faults with it, or to mock at it, will cause the iman to go away. It means one should be very careful about this thing, that he should not consider anything what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said incomplete or faulty. This is too much forbidden. Otherwise, his iman will be no more there. To reject the clear meaning of the Quran and Hadith and to trust their meanings by concocting one's own meaning amount to disbelief. This is called ilhad. It means to turn the thing to that limit that it does not exist. By regarding a sin to be permissible, one's iman goes away. No sin is permissible. Although a sinner is not disbeliever. But if he considers this permissible, then he is no more Muslim. Because his belief has gone. No matter how serious a sin may be, as long as it is regarded as a sin, iman will remain. However, it does get weaker to go diminished. It means a sin will not affect the iman, but it weakens it. It does not finish it. But the thing is this, that for example, there are two types of sins. Smaller one and bigger one. If a person continue or insist upon small sins, it becomes bigger. And if a person continues on bigger sins, so it may go to disbelief. So therefore, one should control this at any stage. To be absolutely fearless of Allah Ta'ala or to despair of His mercy
amounts to kufr.
Al-Iman bain al-khawf wal-rija. One should not dare that much. That it goes out of i'tidal. And one should not go to disappointment to that extent. That it goes out of i'tidal. So therefore one should be living between these two to be on safer side. To ask someone of unseen things, it means ghaib. And to have conviction in them is kufr. It means we cannot say that person knows ghaib. Because only Allah knows ghaib. No other person can know ghaib. But he can know some news of ghaib. Amba al ghaib. Because of Allah's grant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not knowing the people coming to Badr from Kufar. But Kufar did know that Muslims have come. So it means at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want it, that he should know it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make this battle done. So he kept, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept it away from Muslims. So you see, in Canaan, Yusuf alayhi salam was there in the well. But Yaqub alayhi salam was not knowing it. And when his kameez was brought from Masr to Yaqub alayhi salam, so in the start he was knowing that I am going to smell about the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam. So that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to, that he should smell it. So it means it depends upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he wants. So these are called amba al-ghayb. And ilmi ghayb is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, and for this no means are required. These are by itself, it's forever. So this are only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. No one knows the unseen except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, certain things are made known to Prophet through revelations, wahi, to awliya Allah through manifestations and inspirations, kashf and ilham, and to ordinary people through science. That I already said. To call a person a kafir by name or to cause him is a major sin. However, we can say in general terms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses be on the oppressors, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse be on the liars. If Allah and His Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have cursed someone specifically by name or informed us about their kufr, it will not be sin for us to call them kafir or mal'oon. It means because Allah knows it only, so therefore if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told it to someone by clear and unchangeable information, that is only wahi, so then it can be possible. So if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said about, or in Quran it has been said, just like about Firaun. So then we say them kafir, and then we can say them non-believers. But for others, about neither Quran has said nor Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said anything about them, we cannot consider them kafir. Or we should know it by ourselves. It means if he has said some kalma kufr before us, or he has committed something which is kufr, so then we can consider him mari. When a person dies, and if he is buried, then after he is buried, and if he is not buried, then in whatever state he may be, two angels come to him. One's name is Munkar and the other is Nakir. They come and ask him, who is your creator? What is your deen? And pointing to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is this person? If the deceased was a strong believer, he will answer all the questions correctly. Therefore, there will be all sorts of comforts for him. They will open a window towards Jannah from which a cool and fragrant breeze will continue blowing, and he will continue sleeping peacefully. As for the one who was not a believer, to all the questions he will reply that he does not know it. Therefore, he will be subjected to great hardship and punishment right until the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala exempts some people from this test. But all these things are known to the deceased only. We cannot see these things. Just as a sleeping person sees everything in his dream, while a person sitting beside him remains totally unaware. So it means these things will happen in qabr, in grave, and one should prepare for it, because it is a must for him to prepare, otherwise there will be some hardship for him. After the death, the deceased is shown his abode every morning and evening. A jannati is given glad tidings by being shown his abode in paradise, while a jahannami is shown his abode in hell, and thereby made more despondent and wretched. So actually, because the time of his amal is finished, and now the time of jaza has started, so full punishment will be after Qiyamah. But before that, there will be some effect of those. So the person who is going to be Jannati, he will be shown his place in Jannah every morning, every evening. And the person who is Jahannami, he will be shown his place in Jahannam every morning, every evening. By making dua for the deceased and giving in charity on his behalf, rewards reach him and is very beneficial to him. There are some people who do not consider this okay. But our alhamdulillah elders, they say yes. Anything which is nafal, mustahab, the ajr of that one can send it to other people who are dead. Or even if they are alive. For example, if you say Subhanallah, and you say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant this ajr to Shabir, I will get it, inshallah. No problem. Hazrat Sayyid Tanzimullah Kalimi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he was having a jolly mind. So he would say to me, Shabir Rahmatullah Alayh. So I asked him that it is for those who are dead. He said, who says? Any live person does not need rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rahmat is needed by everyone. So it means if it is for even the person who are alive, they may get the ajr of that. All the signs of Qiyamah is foretold by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam will definitely occur. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will appear and will rule with absolute justice. The one eyed Dajjal will appear and cause a lot of corruption in the world. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will come down from the heavens in order to kill him and will succeed in killing him. Yajuj and Majuj is a very powerful nation. They will spread throughout the earth and create a lot of disturbance. Then through the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be destroyed. A strange animal will come out from the ground and converse with people. The sun will arise from the west. The Quran will be raised, and within few days, all the Muslims will die. And the world will be filled with kufr. Apart from this, many other incidents will take place. When all the foretold signs are fulfilled, preparation for Qiyamah will commence. An instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Israfil alayhi salam will blow the trumpet. This trumpet will be in the sharp of a very large horn, in the shape of the very large horn. On the blowing of the trumpet, the earth and skies will be blown into smithereens. All the creations will die, and those that have already died, their souls will become unconscious. But those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect will remain as they are. A specified period will pass in this condition. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala vanishes the entire universe to arise again, the trumpet will be blown a second time. By the blowing of the trumpet, the entire universe will be reborn. All the deads will be brought to the life, and they will all gather in the field of resurrection. In apprehensions of all the difficulties of Qiyamah, they will all go to the prophets for intercession. Eventually, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede. The scales will be raised, and all good and bad deeds will be weighed and counted for. A few people will enter paradise without reckoning. The pious people will be given their book of deeds in their right hand, while the sinners will be given their left hand. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make his followers drink water from the Hawz-e Kawthar, the fountain of abundance. The water of this fountain will be whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. Everyone will also have to cross this sirat. Those who were pious will cross it and enter in paradise. Those who were sinners will fall down into hell. Hell has already been created. It has snakes, scorpions, and many other types of punishments. Among the dwellers of hell, those that have even an iota of iman will be taken out of hell and admitted into paradise after having been punished for their evil deeds. And after the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is irrespective of how great sinner they may have been. As for the disbelievers and prophet and polytheists, mushrikeen, they will abide therein forever and will not even die. So by this we are going to finish, but not yet complete. Inshallah, the other beliefs we shall inshallah talk about in next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us strength enough to be on these beliefs and to avoid any change in these and to be with those people who are real believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to be on the right way, right path. وما علينا البلاغ ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين.